Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight originates from the broadcast studios of www.ealradioshow.com here in New York's Rockefeller Center. We hope you'll call in at the end of our program and let us know your thoughts about this new series. We can be reached at 213-816-1611 or 877-572-1861. Let me repeat those numbers. 213-816-1611 or 877-572-1861. We're glad you're listening in as we bring you highlights of Eastern Airlines during the 1940s and 1950s. Our sponsors for tonight's show are Kellogg's Corn Flakes, Brill Cream hairdressing products, Pepsi-Cola, and Eastern Airlines. We hope you'll patronize our sponsors. Now, let's hear from our sponsor, Kellogg's Corn Flakes.
Say, kids, what is it up in the sky? Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's Superman. Yes, sir, kids, a real flying Superman that can be yours. Looks just like Superman himself. He's made of tough blue plastic and has a bright red cape that fits on his shoulders. With your flying Superman, you get a powerful launcher to send him sky high, zooming through space just like Superman does in his adventures. Now, you'll want to be one of the first to have your own flying Superman, so listen carefully, because here's all you do to get yours. Send one box top from Kellogg's Corn Flakes and just 10 cents. That's one box top and just 10 cents to Flying Superman, Box 330, Battle Creek, Michigan. Or use the handy order blank right on the Kellogg's Corn Flakes package. Get your Flying Superman from Kellogg's now.
Margaret, I hear the phone ringing. Let's hear what this caller has on his or her mind.
Hello, caller, and welcome to the call-in session of our radio show, transcribed direct from 10 Rockefeller Center, New York. Do you have a question for our host tonight?
Hello, EAL Radio Show. I got a question for you.
That's swell. Go ahead with your question, caller.
Well, yesterday I was listening to the radio and heard about a tragic accident, one of Eastern's airplanes. Is there any truth to the rumor that Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on that plane and was killed?
Yes and no, caller. Yes, Eastern Airlines did have an accident on February 27th. The Mexico City Sleeper DST, which means Douglas Sleeper Transport, crashed while making an instrument approach at Atlanta en route from New York to Brownsville. Jimmy Perry was the captain. L. Thomas was a co-pilot. Jimmy, Thomas, and Stewart Clarence Moore, and several passengers were killed. Captain Eddie was a passenger on that flight and was severely injured and taken to an Atlanta hospital. At this time, we have it that Captain Rickenbacker is recovering with many severe injuries. We'll keep our listening audience up to date as we get more news.
Tidy-ho. Looks like another call coming in from our switchboard operator. But before we connect with the caller, let's listen to another radio message from our killer dealer sponsor, Brill Cream Hair Products.
A little dabble, do ya? Brill Cream, you look so debonair. Brill Cream, the guys will all pursue ya. They'll have to get their fingers in your hair.
Use Brill Cream and put life in your hair.
Hello, caller. Sure sounds like you're on a party.
Brill Cream, a little dabble, do ya?
Is this the radio show?
Yes, it is. What's buzzing, cousin? Do you have a question for our panel?
I sure do. I live here in Washington, D.C., and they've been working on an airport on the Potomac and just across from the Navy airport on the other side. Do you folks have any idea when the airport will be ready to use?
Margaret, I'll take this call. Sir, this is Captain Steve Thompson, and just last week, this year, 1941, Eastern was the first airline to fly a scheduled flight into the new airport, a Washington National Airport. The captain was R.W. Tucker, and the co-pilot was J.E. Wood. We sure hope you'll get to fly on one of our new DC-3 transports from this newest of the nation's airports, and thank you for your call. Now, while we're waiting for another call, I've got a question for our panel. Let's see if they can tell our audience what the new name of Shushan Airport and where it's located.
I've panel? Got the answer to that, Captain Steve.
All right. Tell us where it is.
Shushan Airport, while it does sound like it's in China, actually is Lakefront Airport, New Orleans, on Lake Pontchartrain, 4 miles from downtown New Orleans.
You win the prize. Thank you for that.
Hey, I think we've got some news coming on. Stand by.
Mr. Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Following the entry of the United States in World War II on December 7, 1941, Eastern's Military Transport Division was started in April 1942. 1 year later, 1943, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker's special mission to leaders in the Pacific went down in the Pacific Ocean. He, along with most of the B-17 crew members, were rescued after 23 days on a raft. With the introduction of the popular Douglas Aircraft DC-3 transport, Eastern Airlines now speeds passengers from the New York airports to southern Florida in just 8 hours. Let's take this Eastern commercial break to listen to the latest theme music highlighting their modern services.
Let's take a plane, laugh at snow, storms, and rain to Miami where life is from frost to flowers in just 8 hours. When you travel, Eastern scrapes silver fleas. You make the clouds a byway when you take heaven's highway. In a moment, your fondest dreams complete. You fly from frost to flowers in just 8 hours. When you travel,
it's time, America. Time for Walter Winchell. Presented to you by Gruen, the precision watch. Gruen, the
finest watch you can wear. Ruin, the finest watch you can give. Brings you the man who gives America the news. Walter Winchell of the New York Daily Mirror and the Washington Post.
Mr. and Mrs. North and South American, all ships at sea, let go to Prex. Dallas, Texas. The Texas special of the Katy line has been wrecked near Roy City, Texas, between San Antone and St. Lou. Several reported killed. Just happened. We may have more on it later.
Well, let's not keep our callers waiting. Hello, caller. Do you have a question for our panel?
Well, I live up here in Brooklyn, New York, and I've seen some strange airplanes with Eastern Airlines painted on the side. I've never seen an airplane that has three tails on it. Is this some kind of military experimental bomber?
Well, thank you for your call. I'll direct your question to Captain Steve, one of our radio show hosts, who's also an Eastern pilot. Captain Steve, did you hear the caller's question?
Yes, I did, and thank you, caller. And yes, thank you for your timely question. Eastern just purchased 20 Lockheed L-049s that have been dubbed the Constellation. The aircraft is a new design and has three vertical stabilizers rudders attached to the end of the fuselage. And it has a shark-like appearance designed for better aerodynamic airflow. The aircraft is powered by four engines rated at 2,500 horsepower each. It's also pressurized for high-altitude operations and can easily top most of the weather.
Chuck, you've got breaking news.
Also, Steve, in 1947, there was numerous speed records broken by EAL Constellations. Burbank, Miami, 6 hours, 54 minutes. Miami, LaGuardia, 3 hours, 29 minutes. The crew, Captain T.H. Merle and Mac Johnson, and flight engineer Jack Robinson. There was also a Houston to New York run, 4 hours, 33 minutes, with Captain George Ferdberger, pilot W.K. Day and flight engineer R.W. Payne was on. The New York-Miami did a 3-hour and 23-minute run with Captain Frank Jaeger, pilot H.E. Ravenbark, and flight engineer Jared Jern. There was a New Orleans-New York 3 hours and 34 minutes with Captain Dick Morrow, Gene Brown, and Slim Thomas, and flight engineer C.E. Clark.
Turning your radio on in the early 1950s, you are likely to hear this popular radio show. It isn't fair for you to want me.
that once brought you to me. I watched the harbor line.
The rag don't tear the way he makes it pop. You ought to see him fan the air with his hobbity hibbity hibbity hobbity hobbity hibbity hop. He opens up the business when the clock strikes nine. He likes to get up early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine with a great big bundle of joy.
Breaking news. New York San Juan service started. On November the 2nd, 1951, a speed record for the new route was set with a Constellation 5 hours and 9 minutes. The crew was Captain G. Youngerman, pilot D.M. Ferguson, and flight engineer W. Tharp. 1952, service started with the new Martin 404s. At beginning of 1952, Eastern Airlines had 63 DC-3s. Newark Airport was closed temporarily, and operations moved to Idlewild. Carried 2.875 million passengers. It's time for another commercial from our sponsor, Eastern Airlines.
Let's take a plane, laugh at snow, storms, and rain to Miami, where life is so tame.
You fly from frost to flowers in just 8 hours. When you travel east in great silver fleas, you make the clouds a byway. When you take heaven's highway, in a moment, your fondest dreams complete.
Okay, listeners, it's time to cruise on back to our callers. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, folks. This is Eddie Rickenbacker calling in. Your people are doing a great job with the radio broadcast. I just wanted to call in and tell you how much I have really enjoyed listening to the past shows. In fact, I'm going to recommend to our advertising firm that we support your show. Now, I would like to tell your audience a little bit about our progress in 1955. Our first DC-7B was put into service earlier this year. Also, 20 DC-7Bs were ordered, in addition to 40 prop jet Electras. And finally, to complete our fleet, we have 20 DC-8s scheduled for delivery in November. Our company and Braniff have started an interchange from New York, Miami, to South America as of August the 18th. And the best news of all is that in 1955, we carried 6,728,000 passengers. That's right, almost 7 million passengers. Imagine that. That's all I've got right now, but you can bet I'll be back with more news from the home front. Thanks again to all your hosts on the broadcast team.
Wow, you never know who may drop by the show. That was the man himself, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, president of Eastern Airlines. Thank you, sir, for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us. We do appreciate it. Jan, you've been quiet for a while. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your position here at Eastern?
Thank you, Margaret. If Captain Eddie is still on the phone, I have a question for him.
I sure am, Jan. How may I help you?
Captain Eddie, my name is Jan Butchka-E, and I work here at 10 Rockefeller Center, where our broadcast originates. I just wanted to say how great it is to work for Eastern and how great the support is that you and the other managers give all those working in my department. We all just love your secretary, Sheppy, as she prefers to be called. I know her given name is Margaret Shepherd. Is she the one that comes up with all the posters that are posted on the walls throughout the entire Eastern system?
No, not all of them, but she certainly does contribute to this campaign. We think we can communicate better by informing the employees about what is going on at the higher levels of management. One principle I have always had is that if you can't pay cash for it, wait until you can. Do not, under any circumstances, mortgage your future and that of your family through time payments or other encumbrances. Our next poster will express this fundamental belief. Well, I have to go to a meeting now, but I will be back again with you soon.
Captain, thank you very much for being on our broadcast today.
No.
I look forward to seeing you here at 10 Rock, as we refer to our headquarters. Margaret, we moved into the corporate office October 15th, 1940, and occupied the top floors in the building. As a matter of fact, it was called the Eastern Airlines Building. It's been my pleasure to work for Eastern, and especially with all the top executives for the company right here in this location. Captain Eddie is especially friendly to all of us here and throughout the entire system. He listens to everyone's smallest problems, very smallest problems. The airline really seems like a large family. By the way, the pictures of the captain that I asked Captain Eddie about is captioned, Captain Eddie says, here's one I particularly like. None of us here are doing so much work that he cannot do more. You cannot bring about prosperity by discouraging thrift. You cannot strengthen the weak by weakening the strong. You cannot help the wage earner by tearing down the wage payer. Sheppy, Captain Eddie's secretary, would be a great guest to have on one of our future shows. If you would like, I'll go up to Captain Eddie's office on the top floor and see if she would come down to our studio and be interviewed.
Jen, that would be swell, and I'm sure she'll have some interesting stories about Captain Eddie and the way he runs the company. Let's plan for that on our next show. Now, let's take a moment and talk with Millie Peary, another one of our hosts. Millie, are you enjoying being on the radio with the rest of us?
Yes, I am, Margaret. I am just so happy to be here, and now that we're flying to San Juan, Puerto Rico from New York in those big, new, beautiful constellations, I can pass right back home to see my family. All of Puerto Rico was so happy that we now offer service there. And I would like to take this time on the radio to say hello to all the listeners who are in Spanish and may be from my beautiful Puerto Rico. Bienvenidos, Puerto Rico, a nuestra aerolínea Eastern Airlines. Sabemos que estará encantado a volar en nuestros grandes, nuevos, confortables constelaciones y DC-7Bs. Son amplios y rápidos. Cuando usted borda una de estas grandes aeronaves, usted será atendido por nuestras maravillosas auxiliares de vuelo, quienes gustosamente atenderá a su cada necesidad. Comidas calientes, almohadas y mantas, bebidas de su preferencia, barajas y hasta indicar puntos de referencia en la ruta. Por cuanto a los cuatro motores y la presurización de las cabinas, los pilotos lo volará sobre los tiempos para que usted tenga un vuelo suave. Esperamos que nuestra aerolínea sea su aerolínea de preferencia o cuando piense a volar a los Estados Unidos y especialmente a Nueva York. Gracias. Welcome, Puerto Rico, to our airline, Eastern Airlines. We know you will be thrilled to fly in our big, new, comfortable Constellations and DC-7Bs. They are so roomy and vast. When you board one of these giant aircraft, you will be served by our wonderful stewardesses who will gladly take care of your every need. Hot meals, pillows and blankets, beverages of your choice, playing cards, and even point out the landmarks around the route. Because of the four engines and pressurized cabins, the pilots will fly you over the weather so that you will enjoy a smooth flight. We hope we will be your airline of choice when you think of us to the U.S., and especially New York. Thank you.
Do you remember this popular radio show from the 1950s?
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
A radio ad featured along with the programs in the 1950s was this.
Having their financial difficulties. Easton was looking to expand, but didn't want the regulatory approval to do so. That meant merger. George T. Baker, president of National Airlines, who was looking to do the same and had the approval of the Colonial Board of Directors until Captain Eddie went around in the back door to successfully purchase the airline for the highest price for an airline up to date. It was accomplished by two Eastern Board of Directors with the purchase of over 21% of Colonial stock, sufficient to defeat a merger with a national. Easton gained new routes into Canada throughout the Northeast. Even the CAB, the Civil Aeronautics Board, said that Easton's tactics were brazen and was with willful demonstration by appointee demanding a meeting of the sole purpose of considering only Eastern's offer. On March 23, 1952, Colonial shareholders approved the merger with Eastern. Colonial's president, Birch T. Dykes, described Eastern as the soundest of all domestic carriers, one which has never operated in the red, and year after year has spurned all offers of government subsidies. This was the way Captain Eddie did business. Captain Eddie relinquished his position as president to become chairman of the board, and Tom Armstrong, Eastern's secretary and treasurer, became president. This happened on August 10th, 1953. Margaret?
Thanks, Chuck, for that part of Eastern and Colonial history. Well, EAL listeners, we've neared the end of our time travel for today's show, and we hope you've enjoyed this trip down the 40s and 50s memory lane with us. And hopefully, it made you want to get out your stompers, become a ducky shin cracker and grandstand once again. And again, we hope you'll tune in again next week as we travel through the 60s and 70s with songs of the on the hit parade like this one.
Tonight's show include Jim Hart, Margaret Bars, Jan Bushkai, Bill Joseph, Millie Perry, Chuck Albright, and Howard Mucci. And our producer and sound effects man is Neil Holland. Now let's go to some recent news in our industry.
Before we go there, Steve, I just wanted to thank all of our hosts for a great job. And bearing with me for the sound clips. I enjoyed especially being able to select those that you heard tonight. And don't forget, we'll be going into the 70s and 80s on our next show. So tune in and you'll hear some more events, music, and radio programs. Well, the radio programs in those years, decades, the 70s and 80s, pretty much turned into TV programs. So might bring you a couple of those. But it was really fun. I enjoyed that and this show. And I hope you folks listening around the world, as a matter of fact, we still have a very good listeners as far as numbers. And, of course, our listeners are all around the world. So keep tuning in, and you'll hear one. I think we've got one more series in this series of three. But it's been a great show, and thanks a lot for listening. And, host, you did a great job. Let's see. Bill, you've got some news for us?
Yes, I do, Neil. The first item is Americans' seats coming loose in flight. The Federal Aviation Administration is investigating how a row of seats in the coach cabin on a passenger's jet became loose in flight. The seats on American Airlines Flight 6885, a Boeing 757, became unbolted during a Saturday night flight from Boston to Miami. The flight was diverted and made an emergency landing at New York's John F. Kennedy Airport. The passengers in those seats were moved to other seats on the plane. No one was injured, and the aircraft landed safely at JFK. The passengers were delayed 3 hours before being put on another flight to Miami. A fight last month between two flight attendants over a cell phone forced the plane to turn back to the gate at JFK and delayed passengers 4 hours while the airline found a new crew. The trouble at the airline has prompted at least one airline industry expert to advise passengers to book away from the airline for the time being. Wall Street Journal travel editor Scott McCartney warned passengers, quote, "My advice is, until things get straightened out with the operations, if you have a choice, you want to book another airline. It's just not worth it." Chuck, you are in maintenance and engineering. What are your thoughts?
Well, when I worked in overhaul in my younger years, I removed a lot of seats, probably hundreds of them. And there's a standard procedure to accomplish the seats remove and replace. The seats have different types of locks for different types of seats throughout different kinds of airplanes. There's long tracks in the aircraft floor that the seats lock into. They're kind of like little feet on the bottom of the seats. There's four of them. And it goes into the slot that's in the long track. You slide the four little foot down into the track, into a cutout, and after all four locks are in place, you either turn a cam lock on all four locking feet or slide the seat into a locking position and install another type of lock. It looks kind of like a horseshoe with a screw on the end assembly, and you secure the four seat locks to the track. Now, in our particular overhaul session, we always had this little deal where the guy who put the locks in is the guy that sits in the seat and rocks back and forth to make sure the seat are locked in properly. And sometimes they would not lock in, so we would have to go back and do it again. But most of all, I would say by the time they locked into place, they were there for good. I feel anyone who would do any difference to the locks, to the seats, much less do anything incorrect to procedures, is not what I would consider in our industry today. As for the soda and coffee in the tracks, as said by the airlines, that the seats were installed in the tracks, the floor are all clean, including the tracks, before the seat is installed, and even if the fluids that were on the floor were spilled, the seats are already fastened down to the floor tracks. That I wouldn't think that would have anything to do with it. I really am lost for words, really, to find out to why so many seats came out, because there are different types of seats, I know, but we have people, we have lead men that come behind the mechanics, check seats out. I'm sure the flight crews go up and down and make sure the seats are obviously in place. I'm really at a loss for this many seats coming loose, but I guess in due time we'll find out. Millie, you got something there for us?
Yes, Chuck, I do. Flight between two attendants, of course, to Chicago-bound United Airlines flight to return to Raleigh-Durham shortly after takeoff this morning, according to the News and Observer of Raleigh. Quote, our law enforcement team was notified by the tower that the captain had requested law enforcement to meet the aircraft. And if, quote, Mindy Hamlin, Raleigh-Durham spokesman, tells the News and Observer, quote, the aircraft had gotten about 50 miles out when he reported a possible assault on the aircraft, end of quote. And last week, flight attendants spat causes 4-hour delay on American Eagle. And that the incident comes exactly 1 week after a spat between attendants disrupted a flight on American Airlines affiliate American Eagle. That incident came Wednesday, September 20th, with the altercation delaying the New York to Washington flight by more than 4 hours. And now, as for the most recent flight attendant feud, Raleigh-Durham spokesman Hamlin tells ABC 11 of Raleigh-Durham on earlier disagreement between the two United attendants escalated when one brushed into the other, reportedly by accident. It was shortly after that, according to the media reports, that the captain of United Flight 1214 decided to return the Boeing 737-800 to Raleigh-Durham. The flight, which departed at 6:05 a.m. Eastern Time, touched down at the airport again about 40 minutes after takeoff. While the argument was enough to convince the captain to return, ABC 11 reports, quote, investigators determined no blows were exchanged and no assault had been taken. There were no arrests. End of quote. Chuck?
Don't forget, REPA's convention is coming up soon. And if you'd like to attend, it's not too late to sign up by going to www.repaoline.com. There you will fill out all the information about the convention. You'll find all the information about the convention and the forms to fill out. Nothing but Great Eastern stories flying around for 3 days. You're going to love it.
And, Chuck, I'd like to mention something about the Kit XL picnic that's going to be held Friday, November 9th, 2012. Now, if memory serves me correct, X stands for 10, L stands for 50, and I believe 10 before 50 is 40. Is that correct, Captain Neal?
Good show.
All right. The menu sounds fantastic. They're going to have Angus beef hamburgers, all beef hot dogs, Italian sausage, hoagies with peppers, yum, 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 and all kinds of dessert. And they're going to award door prizes. So, folks, you really need to come out and go to this if you can. Again, that lunch is going to be held between 11 a.m. and 3. Now, if you'll go to your Kit little newsletter, there is a registration form there. And the deadline is November 2nd, 2012. So make sure you sign up for that ASAP.
You know, I've got a couple of comments to make. And the article or the news event that Millie reported, you know, this gives me an idea that we can have a show on flight attendants fighting.
Gone wild.
Yeah.
Flight attendants gone wild.
What are some of these shows called on television where you call where they actually fist fight without gloves on? What is that called? Some kind of real?
It's called RAW.
RAW, yeah. That type of show, I think, would be appropriate for these times that we're flying in. Boy, I tell you what, flight attendants must be under a great deal of stress now. It's not like the old days, right, Steve?
That's correct, yes. That is correct. And
did you ever have
It is surprising that so many events are happening where it appears that crew members just lose it, and that may be because of all the pressure they're under.
Well, this type of behavior is unwarranted for. As a flight attendant, I keep my composure in a situation like this, and when we were hired, because we were professionals. That should be carried through every day. And this is very embarrassing. It's even embarrassing for me to read out. So, and in fact, I was going to ask Captain Holland if you've had any kind of problems like this in the past.
Yeah, I had an incident with a co-pilot. We got into a scramble in the cockpit. Accidentally kicked off the autopilot, and that airplane was rocking and rolling. But I'd like to hear a news report of the two pilots up in the front in a all-out, fisty cup, like these flight attendants apparently do. Wonder what happened to the airplane. That'd be fun to listen to.
Oh, my goodness.
Neil, yeah. I would like to add something to the EARA picnic.
Go ahead, Jim.
On November 9, the EARA picnic is held at the C.B. Smith Park. I think that's in Hialeah. Is that right, Millie?
That is correct.
It's in Pembroke Pines.
C.B. Smith, yeah. And, of course,
that's in Pembroke Pines, Jim.
I beg your pardon?
That's in Pembroke Pines.
Oh, thank you, Jan.
Smith Park. You're welcome.
Thank you. One of the things that you failed to mention, Millie, you got all the beer you could possibly drink.
Oh, my goodness, I forgot that. That's inexcusable. I cannot. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, my goodness.
Well, if some of our listeners had missed that part of it, they'll know about it now. But in the last, last 5 years, have acted as master of ceremonies for most of that program. And we do give away quite a number of free positive space passes. In fact, I got a kick out of this last year. I said, ladies and gentlemen, we have an unusual set of passes here, and it's on Alaska Airways, and it's compliments of Sarah Palin. Just thought everyone would know that. And And there's also a table that they have there with all sorts of Eastern memorabilia. And, Neil, I know that you say that you have some of this material at home. If there's any way to get it to the EARA offices, it would really look good on that table and for available to our people at moderate cost, whatever it is.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to go to that EARA picnic. However, the REPA convention is a couple of days later, and I'll have a little table spread full of the Eastern memorabilia so that we can try to sell that. But I wish I could make both events, but I'm unable. We have a caller. I'm not certain whether the caller wants to be on the air, but caller from area code 910, if you'd like to say a few words. I've opened the microphone, so just tell us where you're calling from. Area code 910.
Neil, I think that's my son, Chip, who's a Bible with America.
Chip, is Chip with us?
I haven't called it. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Chip. Go ahead, Captain Chip.
Hi, how you guys doing? Hang on, let me get off the speaker.
Okay. Now, this is Steve, this is your son. Would you like to introduce your son?
Yes, hi, folks. This is my son, Chip Thompson, who is was a captain with American Airlines and still works there as a 777 co-pilot. So, Chip, glad to have you.
Thanks, Dad, and hello to everyone at the Great Eastern Airline family. Hope everyone's doing well.
Hi, Chip.
I just wanted to make a quick comment about the seats and what's going on at American. As you all know too well, what's happening in a company that's going through bankruptcy and going through these difficult times, and the incidents with flight attendants and things like that, just a considerable amount of stress for everyone. I flew with a fellow co-pilot last week down to Buenos Aires that said that he physically threw up in his driveway before going to work, that's the kind of weight he felt he had on his shoulders. So, like I said, you guys well know what that is like. But specifically with the seats, I think it's just indicative of the whole operation. I remember as a kid, unfortunately, watching this with Eastern and seeing the highlights that weren't associated with anything the unions were doing or not doing, but just incidents, because everything was highlighted because Eastern was in bankruptcy, especially in the South Florida newspapers. And every mechanical incident was making the Florida, the Sun Sentinel, I believe, there in Fort Lauderdale. So the seats, no, I do not think in any way anyone sabotaged them or anything. It just happens when a company has such low morale among its employees that things aren't taken care of. People just simply do not care, and these things happen. And the way the company handled it, well played into the hands of the pilots, which was good for us, but they certainly handled it very poorly in the fact that they ended up trying to lay blame on the passengers with soda and other things that would find their way into those crevices where those seats were mounted. So I just thought that was in poor taste. But we're going to get through this. I personally will get through it. I've got a lot of help with a fellow upstairs you might be familiar with. And thank everyone for your support.
Well, we certainly know with the Eastern family what you're going through now, because we've been there, as you mentioned. Your dad and I and all of the hosts that are on the radio show, we've all experienced some really, really low days, especially the last couple of years or 3 years with Eastern. So we sympathize with you, and we hope the company will turn around and be a very dominant carrier again. And, well, it still is. I think probably a little public relations on the part of the company You know, when the media gets a hold of an airline having problems, it's kind of like a piranhas. You know, they're going to feed on this. And any little incident is going to really be broadcast in, you know, the largest font letters and the largest audible on the radio. So that's what's happening, I think, with American. And if we look back with Eastern, I'm sure we can remember the same thing happening with our airline. Nightly news on the radio and the newspaper, everything that was a little bit out of the, you know, the norm with an airline was certainly highlighted, perhaps on the front page as well. So, yeah, we can really sympathize. Any thoughts from our host?
I have one, Neil. This is Jim. Going back to, I think it was 1961 or 62, I remember we had some work stoppages. There was one in particular that was over the Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's period. It was almost 2 months in length. And I remember that, thank goodness, I was able to collect workers' comp after some time. But during that period of time, I had a turkey farm across the street. And so I went over there, and I got a job plucking turkeys. And the combination of the money they paid me to pluck the turkeys and my unemployment compensation, I was making more than when I was working full-time at the company.
Bill, you have a comment?
Well, you know, Neil, I can think back to the late 80s, and we were in a situation where revenue generation was extremely important, and revenue generation was not forthcoming. Every person that could book away from the airline did book away from the airline. And that's part of the problem that you're dealing with when you run into that kind of a situation.
Yeah.
Neil, I was looking over the quotes from Captain Eddie, and in reading them, it sounds like it's coming from a Republican ad.
Especially that line, if you'd like to read it again, about the payer, the paycheck. Does anyone have that handy in the script? Would you like to repeat that again?
You cannot help the wage earner by tearing down the wage payer.
Wow. I don't think that's...
Nor can you strengthen the weak by weakening the strong.
There you go. Very good. Very appropriate.
And then you cannot bring about prosperity by discouraging thrift.
Yeah.
Great things.
I'd like to have a copy of all of Captain Eddie Says, because that was a great campaign back in those days. Even though the employees, I guess, I don't know whether they snickered at those signs that were published. Jim, you probably remember back in your day, and Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Those signs, I don't think, Bill, you probably weren't with the airline, but Jim, I don't know whether, I think those posters were placed throughout the system, probably in the 40s and 50s.
And there were still some, in fact, I was asked to make a tour of the restrooms, would you believe, in the Miami area, in the maintenance facility and everything. And unfortunately, there were restrooms for blacks and restrooms for whites.
Nice.
And Floyd Hall said, get rid of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember when we had the Captain Eddie Says posters over the doorways in the reservation office in Hartford, and that was in the late 50s. They would come, you know, in through the company mail, and the supervisor manager was responsible for putting those up, and they had to be up whether one wanted to or not. That was a requirement.
Hey, Jan, this is Margaret.
Yes.
Could you describe a little bit for us about 10 Rockefeller Center for those that are not familiar with that?
Sure. It is a tall building, the floor on the 16th floor. On the 15th floor, there was a workout room that one of our vice presidents used to use. And I think a president, if I remember correctly, is that correct, Jim?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Most of the reason why it was called the Eastern Airline Building is because we were the largest tenant in the building. And it was that roadway was closed once a year. Rockefeller Plaza was closed once a year for tax purposes. But it was a very interesting building, and you would walk in, and there would be these huge elevators with an elevator man. I can remember his name was John, and he had the gentleman had gloves on, and for fear of marking the walls, you know, with his fingers, and hold the elevator and say good morning to everybody as you walked in. And you would he would press the buttons because he got to know everybody that was going up. And down below, there were restaurants and shopping areas, and you could actually walk quite a distance in the inclement weather of snow or rain.
Now,
so
Jan,
was that the yes?
Yeah, is this the building that faces the skating rink, the ice skating rink in the wintertime?
Exactly. And in the summer, that's converted from an ice skating ring to a restaurant. So you can sit out there. In fact, I got my 10-year pin sitting out there at a restaurant.
We used to walk and raise the Christmas tree, Jan, didn't we also?
Yes, we did. And we would stand out the windows on the rooftops of, like, the way the buildings were made. You could actually go out on the rooftops of a smaller building nearby and watch that sort of thing. And I can remember one day a gentleman whose name I don't remember, but in any event, he was on the telephone, and there was a fire down below by a restaurant, and there were these smoke was coming up by the windows, and his name was Elmer, and I said, Elmer, we've got to get going. So he had to cut his phone call short, which was a customer service call, and we had to get out of the building, and we had to walk down the stairs because we couldn't use the elevators at that point in time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, interesting about that building, when it was built, of course, it was financed by the Rockefellers. Of course, that's the name, the Rockefeller Center. But it was first, there was a kind of a bidding war, not a bidding war, but Patterson wanted it for United Airlines. And back in those days, I think it was Patterson, or C.R. Smith. And that was American, but Patterson, I think it was.
You're right. You're right,
and,
Neil.
And yes. There was and Rickenbacker got some information that Patterson wanted that building or wanted offices in that building. And Rickenbacker got a hold of Lawrence Rockefeller and said, hell, you're on our board of directors. Now, you're not going to give it to Patterson. You're going to give it to us. We want you further to call it the Eastern Airlines Building. And that's exactly what they did. And talking a little bit about Sheppy, just doing a little research about Margaret Sheppard, and everyone referred to as Sheppy. She was Eddie Rickenbacker's secretary for 50 years. And she was very important, and she came from Canada looking for a job. Someone suggested she go to New York, and so she came to New York and forgot exactly who it was that introduced her. But when he hired her, she stayed with him for 50 years. Interesting story about her.
Wonderful.
Neil?
And by the way, yes. Neil, you did a fabulous job. You're to be congratulated on the handling of all of the sound effects.
Well, thank you a lot.
And the producing the show.
Bill, you've got a comment?
Well, what I was going to say was, in the later years at Rockefeller Center, most of Eastern had relocated to Miami, and I was a part of the Northeast Division of Sales and Service, and we held our meetings at 10 Rockefeller Center in the Board of Directors room. I'm sure Jim and Jan know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And we would come down and meet with the divisional vice presidents on a basis of probably every 3 months or so, and those meetings were held there.
Interesting. Well, we could do a story just on Rockefeller, 10 Rock. Is that what you guys used to call it, 10 Rock?
Yes, uh-huh. Yep.
Sounds we call
like
it.
A TV story, a series, doesn't it?
Sounds like a prison.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's one thing that happened prior to Eastern obtaining routes into the Caribbean. I was asked to make a tour of the Mackie system. And so I took my carousel, my Kodak carousel camera with me, and I filled one total carousel with pictures of all of the Mackie installations and airplanes and so on. And, of course, I went to that boardroom, Bill, that you talk about, and I gave a presentation to the folks that were concerned. And in the end result, after looking at those pictures, and I still have the carousel, by the way, after looking at the pictures, I said, we don't want equipment or airplanes or anything. We want routes. And so that's when they went ahead and bought the Mackie Airlines.
Any other comments? I've got just a minute, Margaret.
Oh, hey, guys, this is Lou Wayne. I'm out of breath. I've just run all the way. That Air Kentucky prop jet Electra was just a dang slow, and I've been running all the way from the airport over here. I think I missed the show. Oh, you say I missed it all, and now you're mad at me? Oh, Captain Neil, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Poor Luann.
I'm telling you.
It happens to me all the time, Bill.
Just about come to the end of our show, and trying to find some good music to pipe us out of here. You'll hang on just a second. I think I'll find it here in a minute. Jim, will you?
I hear our sign-off music in the background, and that's it for this week's show. It's time for us to say good night. We hope you've enjoyed listening to the old music, the news, radio programs, and events from the 40s and 50s. Don't miss next week's third show in the series when we bring you the 1960s and 70s history and old-time radio. From all of us here at www.ealradioshow.com, we say good night, Eastern family.
Good night, Eastern family.
Good night,
y'all.
Good night, Luann, wherever you are.
Good night, Jim.